History, 7th grade, Medieval Europe, March 23rd through 27th. Tuesday, March 24th lesson. History Unit, The Expansion and Development of the Early Medieval Christian Church, 400 to 700 AD. Page 11. Lesson 6, The Pastoral Rule of Pope Gregory the Great, who begins rule in 590 AD. Lesson 6. Socratic Guiding Questions. Keep these questions in mind as you study. Number 1. What is a pastor? From the Latin pastor, pastoris, masculine, shepherd. How is the pastor's life similar to that of a shepherd? Number 2. How is the pastoral rule similar to and different from the rule of Saint Benedict? Objective. Be able to do this by the end of this lesson. Number 1. Describe the necessary qualities and duties of the pastor as outlined in Gregory the Great's pastoral rule. Introduction to Lesson 6. Yesterday, we reviewed the two main missions to evangelize England. The missionary movement from the north, coming from Ireland, and the missionary movement from the south, sent by Pope Gregory. We focused on the missionary movement from the south. Pope Gregory the Great sending Augustine of Canterbury to Canterbury and the decision of King Ethelbert and the English people to become Christian. Today, we turn to Pope Gregory the Great himself. As you may remember from previous lessons, Gregory the Great was born to a wealthy family in Rome. After his parents' death, he used his inheritance to start 7 monasteries around Italy. Though initially a political leader, he left this career behind to join a monastery himself, and he eventually became abbot there. He later was chosen to be a papal legate and ambassador in Constantinople. Before he was made pope, in 590 AD and continued to be pontiff of Rome until 604. He was one of the most capable popes of the early Middle Ages. He made every effort to suppress heresy. He carried on an amazing correspondence on every conceivable subject connected with the church. He was a master of music and codified the type of music known as plain song for use in the liturgy of the church. And he wrote hymns. He was an able administrator and one determined to be obeyed. Yet he believed that an ideal ruler was one who served those whom he ruled. And it was Gregory the Great who first used the title adopted by succeeding popes, Servus Servorum Dei, or Servant of the Servants of God. Besides the care of the church in lands already Christian, the papacy of Gregory was characterized by his missionary work in the northern parts of Europe, and especially by the mission he sent to England. Parts of this introduction were adapted from pages 37 and 38 of your textbook. Page 12. Pope Gregory the Great, 540 to 604 AD. Pope Gregory the Great is almost always depicted in art with a dove as a symbol of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for his teaching. According to one story, when he was composing his homilies on the Bible, the book of Ezekiel, a dove was seen telling him the words to say directly from God. Pope Gregory's work in codifying plain song for use in the liturgy of the church was so influential that this kind of music still lives in Catholic liturgy today and takes its name from him, Gregorian chant. The Pastoral Rule. The most famous of Pope Gregory's writings, the Liber Regulae Pastoralis, known commonly to English readers as the Pastoral Rule, was written soon after its author became pope in 590 and was addressed to John, Bishop of Ravenna, in replying to inquiries received from him respecting the duties of the clergy, bishops, priests, and deacons. For centuries, it was incredibly influential upon the life and manners of the clergy, especially in England, Spain, France, and Italy. The work is in 4 parts. Number 1, on the selection of men for the work of the church. Number 2, on the sort of life the pastor ought to live. Number 3, on the best methods of dealing with the various types of people which every pastor will be likely to encounter, and 4, on the necessity that the pastor guard himself against egotism and personal ambition. The passages below are taken from Part 2. Read and annotate the following excerpts from the Liber Reguli Pastoralis. Instructions for guided annotations are given below. Summarize in a phrase or short sentence each chapter excerpted below, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and 11. Focus especially on, 1, the quality or duty that Gregory claims is necessary for the pastor, and 2, the reason why it is necessary, if that is provided. The Pastoral Rule of Gregory the Great. Selections from Book 2 of The Life of the Pastor. 1. The conduct of a prelate ought so far to be superior to the behavior of the people as the life of a shepherd is accustomed to elevate him above the flock. For one whose position is such that the people are called his flock ought anxiously to consider how great a necessity is laid upon him to maintain uprightness. It is necessary, then, that in thought he should be pure, in action firm, discreet in keeping silence, profitable in speech, a near neighbor to every one in sympathy, exalted above all in contemplation, a familiar friend of good livers through humility, unbending against the vices of evildoers through zeal for righteousness, not relaxing in his care for what is inward by reason of being occupied in outward things, nor neglected to provide for outward things in his anxiety for what is inward. Page 13, 2. The ruler should always be pure in thought, inasmuch as no impurity ought to pollute him who has undertaken the office of wiping away the stains of pollution in the hearts of others also. For the hand that would cleanse from dirt must needs be clean, lest, being itself sordid with clinging mire, it soil all the more whatever it touches. For on this account it is said through the prophet, "Be clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord," Isaiah 52:11. For they bear the vessels of the Lord, who undertake, on the surety of their own conversation, to conduct the souls of their neighbors to the eternal sanctuary. Let them, therefore, perceive within themselves how purified they ought to be who carry in the bosom of their own personal responsibility living vessels to the temple of eternity. 3. The ruler should always be a leader in action, that by his living he may point out the way of life to those who are put under him, and that the flock, which follows the voice and manners of the shepherd, may learn how to walk rather through example than through words. For he who is required by the necessity of his position to speak the highest things is compelled by the same necessity to do the highest things. For that voice more readily penetrates the hearer's heart, which the speaker's life commends, since what he commands by speaking, he helps the doing by showing. Hence it is said through the prophet, "Get you up into the high mountain, you that bringest good tidings to Zion," Isaiah 49. The ruler, 4, the ruler should be discreet in keeping silence, profitable in speech, lest he either utter what ought to be suppressed, or suppress what he ought to utter. 4. As incautious speaking leads into error, so careless silence leaves in error those who might have been instructed. 6. The ruler should be, through humility, a companion of good livers, and through the zeal of righteousness, rigid against the vices of evildoers, so that, in nothing he prefer himself to the good, and yet, when the fault of the bad requires it, he be at once conscious of the power of his priority, to the end that, while among those beneath his authority who live well, he waives his rank, and accounts them as his equals, he may not fear to execute the laws of morality towards the perverse. Number 11. But all this is rightly done by a ruler, if, inspired by the spirit of heavenly fear and love, he meditate daily on the precepts of sacred writ, Scripture, that the words of divine warning may restore in him the power of care and of wise caution with regard to the heavenly life, which common talk with men continually destroys, and that one who is drawn to oldness of life by secular society may by the goal of sorrow for sin be ever renewed to love of the spiritual country. For the heart runs greatly to waste in the midst of human talk, and since it is undoubtedly evident that, when driven by the tumults of external occupations, it loses its balance and falls, one ought incessantly to take care that through keen pursuit of instruction it may rise again. For hence it is that Paul admonishes his disciple who had been put over the flock, saying, Till I come, give attendance to reading. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13. Hence David says, How have I loved your law, O Lord! It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 109, verses 97. Page 14. Closing. Check your understanding of the lesson by answering the following question in 4 to 5 sentences. Number 1. Describe the necessary qualities and duties of the pastor as outlined in Gregory the Great's Pastoral Rule. This completes Tuesday, March 24th's lesson.